Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
All right. While we have been doing kind of a different version of ministry through our videos, a couple people have been very huge in helping pull all of the tech stuff off, and they're standing right now. If Andrew and Alyssa could actually come up here real quick. To pull off all of the videos is definitely not on me. I can't do it. And so one of the huge helpers to not only film our videos, but to do all of our editing and things like that has been Alyssa. And she has put in hours and hours and hours and sometimes days to pull off these videos. She puts the scripts together for the kids and does just really neat edits and all that sort of stuff. And so just from the church, we just want to say thank you for the extra that you are doing. Andrew, yeah.
Thank you.
We can say thank you on that. And they've come up, they look really sharp. It looks really good videos. And then also Andrew, had it not been for Andrew, I don't know how we would have made it through the pandemic ministry because of all the new tech stuff that we have gotten. And we actually made a decision right before the coronavirus to get some cameras and to get more microphones and things like that. Andrew has been teaching a Sunday school class on prayer. He's been doing all of our announcements, sending out a lot of emails and things like that. He's been making announcement videos. We're doing Facebook Live, which we want to say hi to all of our other church family that's out there. He's gotten us set up with that. Lots of Zoom calls that we're doing for discipleship and for our life groups and things. And so just as a little extra added, we just want to say thank you to Andrew as well. Judah wrapped that. Happy birthday. Judah wrapped it. But it's perfect for the pandemic that we're in. So Andrew, would you go ahead and open that right now? Judah, great rapping job. Pandemic, yeah. Andrew loves board games, and so I reached out to Jessica. What does he like? Pandemic. Do you have this one? Perfect. Go knock yourself out. Wear a mask while you play it, and have a blast with it. So thank you guys again for all that you're doing. Ronnie's got a note to the church. She wants to say, good morning, church. It feels so good to be back, Nora and Ronnie, and flip it over, and we've got a big old heart here. So her little message to our church. Hey, if you would, we're going to jump into the Bible. We're going to go to Psalm chapter 23, the 23rd chapter of Psalm. I just want to entitle this, that the Lord is my shepherd. And as we think of a shepherd, we think of one who protects, one who feeds, one who guides, defends against the wolves in the wild, one who is bringing us into different pastures constantly all the time to feed us, to give rest, to work us sometimes. Hey, we need to get up, we need to move, we need to go. And I just want to encourage us that a good shepherd keeps the flock moving. And we just can't get idle, and we can't stay in one place because we could exhaust the ground to where it no longer is producing life. And so a good shepherd, he's got a rod, and he's got a staff, and sometimes it's to hook you and say, come on, baby, we're going back over here. This is the way we got to go. Sometimes it's to whack you real good and say, nope, we don't act that way. Or it's just to prod you, saying, come on, get with it, let's go. Sometimes it's to save you. If you would fall down a cliff, to pull you back up. The shepherd is constantly engaging the sheep to preserve life and to help bring the best life. And so as we dive in here, I want us to think the whole kind of theme of this text is just laden with the shepherd. And if you would actually look the chapter before in Psalm 22, it talks about this, it's David, but he has these lines in there that Jesus ends up saying. It starts out, look at Psalm 22, it says, my God, why have you forsaken me? which is Jesus hanging on the cross. And then later it says that they tore my garments and they cast lots and they were beating me and whipping me. And I can count all of my bones because my body's just exposed, right? That's Psalm 22. Then it comes into Psalm 23 and it talks about who this good shepherd is. It's pretty awesome. And then as you move into Psalm 24, it says, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He owns it all." There's just kind of a fun context matters, right? And so the content within the context gives us kind of a good scene. Also, what we see many times in the writings of David is this ebb and flow emotionally. He's like, "I don't want to even live. I curse the day that I die. God, you're amazing. Why have you cast, you know, your enemies against me?" And there's just this ebb and flow. And even in Psalm 23, we see kind of this little roller coaster that begins to happen in David as he goes on this little journey. So let's read this, Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters, and he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." A few things that we see here is we see in verse 1, he's feeding. In verse 3, he's leading. He's guiding. He's very engaged and active in the process of what's happening with the sheep. How many of y'all know a lot of times there's a lot of reports that's going on in America right now? And it's a lot of bad reports. It's a lot of bad news. It's a lot of heavy news. And when we inundate ourselves with heavy, bad news, what begins to happen to the human heart and the soul? Whenever you get told that this person doesn't like you and your performance wasn't good enough and I didn't like this, it's just heavy, you're not enough here, you didn't do that, does something happen inside of you? It just kind of weighs and aches the heart, right? Because it's personal. It comes against us personally. So now let's take it. It's not necessarily overly personal, but it does affect your personal life. Bad news is coming out that there's sickness and there's disease and there's virus and we got to shut everything down and we got to lose 30 million jobs in the process of this. And lives are just different. Even though maybe in central Indiana our lives haven't overly been different, but we haven't worshiped together in 2 months. That's changed our lives for sure. Maybe financially, maybe you've lost some hours. That's changed some lives. Maybe you're just not able to have the same impact. I know people who just started a brand new business. You got overhead. You've got a monthly storefront. You've got expenses. You've got all of this money, and no one is coming to shop. That is hard. That's news that is not good. If we only drink from the stream of bad news, it makes the inside toxic. And I want to encourage us, yes, we should be reading on what's going on with the coronavirus. Yes, we should be taking in some information. But the number one source of all news should be good news. It should be God's take on a perspective, not talking heads that are sitting disconnected. It needs to be, "God, I want to get so inundated with you. I want to be really close to my shepherd because you're the one that's leading me. You're the one that's guiding me. You're the one that's feeding me through all of this." And many times whenever we sup at the table of bad news, it feeds our fear. And we've got to starve our fear. We definitely need to read and we need to listen and we need to gain wisdom, but not to the point to where it's feeding our fear. We've got to suffocate the fear. We've got to tune in to a good shepherd that's going to lead us through the valley of the shadow of death. I lived in Louisiana for about a year, And their football stadium for LSU, for the LSU Tigers, is called Death Valley. They started calling it Death Valley in 1959, only after they had played Clemson University, and Clemson has had their stadium called Death Valley since the 1940s. The original Death Valley has been Clemson, and Clemson football hasn't been on the scene for many, many years until recently, and they are just monsters. They've been the number one team forever. I say forever, I'm talking in the recent probably, I don't know, four, five seasons they've won the championship or they've been right there. LSU has had the elongated program that they've just been consistently good. Last year, Clemson wins the national championship. This year, LSU wins the national championship. Both of them, their stadiums are called Death Valley. Clemson had the title until they played LSU in the Sugar Bowl. And LSU beats them. LSU says, from now on, we're Death Valley. Because when you come up in here, you're done. You die. We defeat you. We now own the title of Death Valley. And if anything is huge in Louisiana, it is the LSU Tigers. It is a big, big deal. Death Valley. And as people would come in, there was just this aura about it, like, oh my gosh, it is not going to go well. I read Tim Tebow's book, and he tells the story whenever he played LSU. And students figured out his cell phone number before the game. And they are texting him like crazy, calling his mother every name in the book, going off on his sisters like personal attacks. Like, this was cutthroat. You're coming to Death Valley. We're going to eat you alive. And it was an intense game. There's fans like leaning over as they're getting off the bus, throwing stuff at him, spitting on them. It was just absolutely insane. How many of y'all know the enemy is not looking for prisoners? He's looking for your throat is what he's looking for. And when you go up into Death Valley, you better be ready. And so Tim Tebow comes in here, and it was an intense game. He ends up winning, right? He takes death by the throat himself. And here's the idea of it. As we're walking into this Death Valley, it can be a little intense. It can feel like the dark night of our soul. Perhaps there's been major sickness. Maybe it's been a relationship that's just been broken down. Maybe it's been just frustration at your job. Whatever those things, that's the dark night of your soul. The good news is the shepherd walks through the valley of death with us. It's like you've got Tebow in your huddle. You've got Jesus in the huddle. He's walking this thing out with you. And so I want to break down this passage of scripture as we walk potentially through some hard times, that God is not just interested that we would endure. He is interested that we would thrive through it all. We see here that it says that he will anoint our heads with oil. A couple of things that an anointing oil would do is you would put oil on a wound. Some of y'all know you can get wounded in the valley of death. Whenever you're in a battle, you can take on some affliction. You can get cut. In a marriage, you can get cut by somebody's words, somebody's actions. And he begins to put this oil salve upon and heals. Also, whenever they would cover someone with oil, it would help repel the flies that would come around. And whenever you're just out in pastures with sheep, you would want as many flies, you know, to be repelled off as possible. It's a protectant. It's a shield. What God says to Abraham, whenever I want you to lead my people, he says, I will be your shield and your exceedingly great reward. An anointing that comes over. Also, an anointing helps someone in their talents and their gifts. It helps actually level up. It helps take who you are to a whole nother level. Some people, they might do something just because they have an interest in it. Other people do something because they're really good at it. They have a talent for it. But there's a third way. People do things not because they're just interested, not because they're talented. They do things because they have an anointing to do it. And when the anointing oil comes upon, and that's what we're going to pray for today, and even as we sit into some silent time, God, let me have an anointing to bust through suffering with the oil of joy, with the oil of gladness, just to be smeared all over my life, that I would walk through hardship and shine through it all. He goes on here in this passage of scripture. He also says, goodness and mercy will follow me all of the days of my life. So picture with me as a shepherd is leading, as a shepherd is leading this flock, and the sheep are following. It says goodness and mercy are following. They're behind me. And I read a commentary that said the sheepdog are the ones that are behind the sheep. And as they're the ones that are encouraging with some barks, or maybe they come up and they're kind of prodding you, or maybe even sometimes nipping a little bit at the heels to keep the sheep moving. He says, as we're moving, we've got to go. We just can't sit here forever. We've got to move, right? And I believe in the moving, in the trusting, in the obeying, it says there's some sheepdogs in the back of the flock, and it's goodness and it's mercy. That's the people that are following you all the days of your life. We're going to pray goodness over our church family. We're going to pray that the mercy of God would protect us as a shield around us, around the flock, that as we move forward in an anointing of God, goodness and mercy are going to follow everywhere we go. And now check this. This is the ebbs and flows. So he goes from we're all sheep with a shepherd to like this military fight thing. Are you ready for this? So then he says that there's a table that is set up, verse 5. There's a table that's set up before you in the presence of your enemies. So check this out. Many times, as they're heading off to war, here's what they would do. The king would come before the people, and they would be an earshot of the enemy. And the enemy would be able to know that they were in the area, and what they would do is they would have a raucous party, just rowdy party, a sober party, because they were about to head into war, but a sober, raucous party of just crying out, of banging the drums, of celebration, having the tambourine, shaking it like it was 1984 again, right? That's having all kinds of good times. And then the only person who's allowed to sit at the table to eat is the king. And the king would sit down at the table and he would begin to eat. It says that he prepares this table and he calls us kings. Indirectly, he says that the table's made for kings in the presence of our enemies. They can see this. We're heading to war and we're going to party. We're going to worship. And many times as Israel was moving through the land, it says Judah goes first. And the tribe of Judah was the worshiping tribe. And they're going to worship as we go into war. Can I encourage us with this? As we go through heavy things, can we walk with a spirit of worship? Having worship upon us, not whining, not complaining, not it's everybody else's fault and they didn't do enough and they're not being a good neighbor and right, all of this sort of stuff. You got to fix your eyes somewhere else. You got to fix your focus, man. And if it's on everybody else's weakness and everybody else's bummer and it's on all the bad news, and it's, let me tell you something, we got some really good news. We got the best news ever. And it needs to be a place of worship where we sup at the table and we laugh like a king through it all. Proverbs 31 says there's a certain woman out there who's different than the rest of them. And she doesn't live in worry and anxiety, and she's not biting her nails, wringing her hands. She's not hyperventilating. She looks at the days to come, and she laughs at the days to come. Bring it, right? She's cut from a different cloth. And I want to encourage us as a church, if the shepherd could prod us, we're made from a different cloth. We just don't live like everybody else. We're kind of like an alien in this whole deal. I'm just different. I understand. You already know that I'm different. I might be the weird one here. I just don't always belong here. It's just different for me. And I'm full of faith, full of joy. I'm covered in an oil of gladness. It's just something that's different. And as the enemy comes, I take it seriously, but I do it in a rejoicing spirit because I know I've got a shepherd who's in it with me. That's the good news. Another thing is that he's walking us through the valley of death. Maybe there's been some places where you've sat in that valley. It's depressive. It's oppressive. It's just heavy. And you've set up camp. I'm going to camp out right here. I'm going to stay here for a year. I'm going to stay here for 5 years. I'm going to stay frustrated at that person. I'm going to hold bitterness.
right here. And I'm going to have them locked in with me in the valley of death. We're all going to stay in here together. We're just all going to die together, right? And he says he didn't lead us into it to camp out and stay. He leads us through it. And so, church, we got to start moving forward. You got to move forward. Maybe it's in your attitude with your boss. Maybe it's coworkers. We got to bust through, man. Maybe it's in relationships. It's spouse. It's kids. It's in-laws. It's whatever. We've got to start gaining some ground and lead the same way that Jesus would lead. We got to get through the valley of the shadow of death. Be coated with that oil of joy. Jesus loves you right where you're at, but my gosh, he loves you so much to not leave you where you are. He wants to lead you through every valley that we walk through. And as he's talking about this face of the enemies here, check this out. He says this in verse 5. He says, you set up this table, and then my cup overflows. So at the beginning, before the battle, they set up this raucous party with empty cups. It was a sober party. At the end, he says, my cup's overflowing. We're partying. I'm not saying that it's not a sober party, but I'm saying they were partying. And many times we say, well, this means, you know, Jesus is my portion. He's my cup. He fills me up. Yeah, all that. He's definitely our portion. In this context, we're eating. There's a table. We're heading off to war. There's a valley of death. He's going to cover me through it all. And I have a cup. And this thing is overflowing. And we got to come to the end of whatever battle it is and celebrate. And I want to encourage some celebratory movements in our lives. I want to encourage that there is going to be a land that is flowing with a milk and a honey that we have never tasted before. I want us to tap into a new wine that Jesus calls himself. He says, I'm the new wine, baby. I'm here to drink deep that he would flood and fill our cups. This passage of scripture many times is read at funerals or memorials, just to kind of like, you know, the last rites for somebody. And I think it's awesome. I read this scripture often. This scripture is about life, not about death. This scripture is about busting through to a whole other level. And then the good shepherd, he wants to bring us to waters that are still and pastures that are green. He really does want to bring good things into our lives. And perhaps for some people, we just haven't seen God as a good God. If God is good, then why would he do this, this, and this? If God is good, why does he allow a pandemic? If God is good, why did my marriage break down? If God is good, then why did this person die? I want to encourage you to gain a perspective that there is an enemy who is here to kill, steal, and to destroy. He wants to keep us locked in the valley of death. But there is a good shepherd, man. And he wants to bring us to waters that are still. He wants to party in the face of the enemy. He wants to celebrate for many, many good years to come. And as we walk through this time, during this pandemic, during this crisis, I want to encourage just a couple of things. Have a perspective. Don't waste this crisis. Don't let this be a wasted time. God, I want to get everything out of this I possibly can. I want to come out of isolation, shining, rocking and rolling. I want to spend this time with you. Everything else is shut down. We don't have ball games to go to and practices to go to and go to gymnastics. And I don't go to gymnastics. Ronnie's in gymnastics and Nora. I just watch. But we don't have other stuff to run off to, right? So we're kind of in this time just to get locked in. And would we be locked into Jesus and not just Netflix? Would we be locked into something that would sustain our soul, that he would fill us up, that we would run over, that we would be coated in an oil, that we would shine, baby, shine. And when the enemy comes to our doors, we laugh and we celebrate and we party because we're a different breed. We're something different. We don't respond like everybody else. We're separated from everybody else. We don't have the same response. We're not locked in fear. We've got to starve the fear. We've got to get our news from a different source. And the news is, let me just let you in on the spoiler. We win. Jesus wins. Always. The end of the game is we win the game. That's the good news. And so we've got to get our faith there into a place. Not foolishly, not that we shouldn't take precautions. We definitely should, with wisdom, knowing we win. And to act in a place like that. As we wrap this morning, one of our disciplines here as a Quaker is that we just like to sit in some time of silence. And I just want to take just a few moments. And if you would be willing to say, Jesus, where's that fear that's starting to suffocate me? I don't even want to come out. I don't even want to do this. Or I really want to maybe go ask for forgiveness for somebody, but I'm so afraid. I don't want to do it. I'm kind of locked up. Or I really want to launch this new idea that God gave me. But gee whiz, now's not the time. Now's not the market. God makes a way where there is no way. And so I just want to trust. I want to get my heart into a different place. I just can't live like everybody else. Right? God, where's the times where you're calling me to celebrate? Maybe we got to move out of mourning into rejoicing, right? So we're just going to sit here just for a few moments and reflect on this time. God, help me bust through this valley to where I can laugh at my enemies. Let's just sit here for a minute. We get ready to close here this morning. Just a couple reminders for our M&O or for our monthly meeting right after the service. Also, as you're leaving, we're going to have an offering plate right here at the back of the church. We didn't want to pass anything this morning, but you could just drop your tithe and your offering in this plate. If you're going out this door, we've also got one right here where you can give your tithes and your offerings. And we're grateful for everybody that's just stayed faithful through this to continue to give to the church. If y'all would stand with me as we close this morning. Jesus, I pray that we would be a different breed. God, cut us from a different cloth, Lord. God, I pray you'd put some iron in our spirits, strengthen our spine, Lord. I pray that we would shine in the face of our enemies. God, I pray that we would not be rattled. We would walk through every valley, knowing that you're good, you're beside us. Lord, I just pray a blessing over this church that goodness and mercy would be the only thing on our heels. That you would wipe out the enemy and you would put goodness and mercy chasing us down. Lord, we just pray for a hedge of a protection around us, that you are the shield. You are the great reward of our lives. God, I pray that you would anoint this house, anoint every single person with an oil and an anointing upon their lives, an oil of gladness that would just drip from us. God, I pray that you would just set up tables and we would eat like kings in front of our enemies. We would look at these days and laugh. Lord, we would just have a different joy about us. God, lift our spirits, lift our heads where we're heavy and downcast. We break that off in Jesus' name by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we just pray for a breaker to come and set your people free, that we would move on and move forward with the lives that you've got marked out for us. Lord, I pray that you would suffocate our fear, and Lord, you would release just a faith and a joy about your people. We honor you today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We love you guys. We love you guys. We're going to greet.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.